Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. And as always, my co-host, J.C. Sherbert. Welcome in, J.C.
Hello, Phil. Good to be with you guys today. Inside the Gamecocks, the show portion, I guess. So, coaching search, stuff like that going on, right? Baseball, interesting stuff. I wanted to talk about this Fred Ards thing real quick. You know, I think that Carolina was leading for a while. I heard the NIL money was not that much different. I think that changed at A&M. He had a good visit out there, and coming off that visit, he commits. This weekend, they do have an Edge coming in. Some of you that ask about Edge. Success Nwabude, 6'7", 245-pound, three-star guy from Athens, Georgia, Athens Christian. Georgia has offered. Wait a minute. Did he commit to Georgia Tech? Yes. Sorry. I don't know if he's still planning to make it in or not now. He committed today to Georgia Tech.
Wow.
So who knows? Who knows what will happen? So Ed Edge. Desmond Malpress committed to Clemson. Guy from Jacksonville that they visited. So I don't know. We'll see what happens at Edge. You know, there is a need there. You got to kind of backfill. You do have young players. Walker's a young player, obviously, and you've got Dodd and Addison. They're young players. Drew Collins is a young player. Kobe Saki-Pra is a young player. And then there's always the portal at that position. You can find edges. But Ards would have been a big one. But, look, every year there are guys South Carolina's not supposed to get that they get out of state. And every year there's guys out of state that break their hearts. And some of them are at South Carolina now.
Right.
Kelby Collins and Jordan Thomas. So I wouldn't get too worked up over it. Other than, you know, I know what fans are thinking. The team up the road, Clemson's been on a heater recruiting the last couple of days. I mean, they got a lot of guys, you know, rolling in. And you look, and when your recruiting class is sitting at like 30th, you're going to have some numbskulls that, you know, don't have anything better to talk about over the summer in the media that are going to look at that and point to why South Carolina football is on the decline and all that good stuff based on a team recruiting ranking in the summer. That happens. This class will finish 18th to 25th again. It's like it always does. It hadn't really affected things. I mean, and I'll say this to people that worry maybe too much about losing blue chip recruits, especially the Texas schools. You know, South Carolina's in a position now, unless they change the SEC schedule format again, which who knows what's going to happen with college football with this law that's all of a sudden fixes a lot of the issues people have been yelling about. But, oh, because of money and the ability to not have a super-duper conference or whatever, the SEC and Big Ten are suddenly against it. Come on, man. Nevertheless, you know, if you're worried about it, I'll just, you know, South Carolina's in a position where they're going to have to play Texas or Texas A&M every single year. Okay. They haven't played Texas yet. They haven't played Texas since the 50s. But I'll remind everyone, Texas got the benefit of Kentucky and Mississippi State back-to-back. And in Austin, they beat those teams. They were competitive, but they beat those teams at 24. Last year, they should have lost both of those games. So there was a 3-point overtime game where the Mississippi State blew a lead in Starkville. And then it was another overtime game in Lexington, 16-13. How did all that recruiting help them? I mean, South Carolina beat A&M, as Shane Beamer pointed out, this year by 24 points the year before. There was no, you know, you look at the recruiting rankings, South Carolina never out-recruited Texas A&M. A&M had probably more NFL players on the field that night. Last year, in the first half, they dominated A&M. You know, so I don't necessarily think, especially now with the portal, that you're doomed if you lose out on some of your top targets. That said, and I may be missing something because I'm just going off film, what I've, and I don't know the money aspect of it either, but Desmond Malpresta went to Clemson. I don't think Dabo's putting out the NIL fund, right, for a freshman. That's not, that'd be out of his, I mean, at least what he's done the last few years. Would I maybe taking him? Not necessarily trusting that, you know, some of these other schools in the mix with Ards and KJ Green visited Oregon this weekend. I think the Ducks have some traction there. The kid out of Stevenson, they've led for a while. Yeah, maybe. I think you can make a case for that. Is it a mistake? Who knows? Desmond Malpress may not work out. Fred Ards may not work out. And whoever Carolina signs may be a first-round draft pick. So you can't say anything definitively. But recruiting and good recruiting a lot of times is based on decisions that you make. And a lot of times it's based on who you decided not to take rather than who you lost out on head-to-head. Does that make sense? And if you think about it through time, when you hear the term recruiting malpractice, 9 times out of 10, that is about a player that you passed on that you could have had. I'm not saying that'll end up that way with Malpress. I don't know. I just like this film. That's all. Who am I to say that? And Darren Usher and those guys done a great job. You know, this is not criticism. I'm just kind of trying to explain how to kind of look at it out there for people. It has nothing to do with criticism. They can take whoever they want. They deserve. You got a lot of good coaches there. You got people that know what they're doing, looking at talent. I'm probably missing something. But you know, it'll be interesting to see, with the board at Edge, how to do it. And I apologize. I haven't really talked a whole lot of recruiting lately because I'm trying to follow this baseball search and doing a lot of team stuff and all that good stuff. So I apologize. I wasn't up on Ards as much as I maybe should have been, warning everyone that this was coming. Cause Wes knew. And unfortunately I don't think that part of the interview made it up. I don't know that it's up yet on YouTube, and that's kind of how I do it. So we will see how everything goes there. Harrison's okay, so we got the McKellar Enterprises chat box. Phil, you ready?
Yeah, let's hit it.
Bruin says, this class isn't going to be full of top guys. Hopefully who we get developed. I'm expecting Nate Carson to end up at Clemson as well. That's another thing. The kid from Irmo, great visit to Clemson. Clemson leads right now. If you read some of his comments, though, he's still South Carolina's home. What was told to us about Nate was at the end, they expected to be Carolina at the end. We're not to the end yet. He didn't cancel his visit. Is a decision until July 3rd. I'm not saying he won't end up at Clemson, because prior to South Carolina kind of getting in the mix and the feedback we got, it was Clemson and Tennessee. Clemson, he's one in-state guy that Clemson's always been up there for. You know, Matt Luke does a really good job recruiting. They have a lot of momentum, right? So hopefully they get Nate. I like Nate Carson quite a bit, offensive line prospect. Jay Dez talks about Schnall bringing Matt Williams. Yeah. Matt Williams, pretty good pitching coach. And one of the funniest things, Phil, about Carolina baseball, going all the way back to winning the national championship with the fire Mark Calvi. You remember, it's kind of become a joke. Hashtag fire Calvi. With the exception of Jerry Myers, South Carolina, I think Carolina fans, baseball fans, great, some of the best baseball fans in the country, like the actual hardcore baseball people, they hate every single pitching coach except Jerry Myers. And then Carolina's had some damn good ones. Justin Parker, Skylar Meade, congratulations to him for beating the Gators and eliminating Coach Sully and his tail.
Yeah. Well, you think about, there's that one stretch that every team goes through, right? Where your pitching staff just may not look like it's got, you know, Cy Young award winners, yeah, future Cy Young players on it, right? And then it's so easy to turn on that guy, right? Well, yeah, there's one pitching coach and pitching is bad. So
I thought like Kingston's last year, as far as the staff went, pitching staff, that if I remember correctly, they had a lot of injuries, and then they had guys that just like one guy just he kind of got a little like an injury where he could have played. I don't remember exactly what it was, but they had injuries that year in 24. And I remember they were really thin. Mm. And old Matt, you know, Matt, every inning he'd get up out of the dugout, you can mosey on out to the mound and make another change, you know, just coaching his butt off, you know, trying to beg, borrow, and steal their way to some kind of pitching. Because that Carolina team, and it's crazy because the last game they played was 2-0 against James Madison. But they a lot of, if you look statistically, they could score runs. You know, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Georgia kind of got them going at downhill at the end and toward the end of that year. And Carolina scored, it's not enough. Georgia was just ping, teeing off like they're at the driving range. But yeah, Matt Williams, if Paul Maneri had taken the job and left Monty Lee in the same spot, hitting coach, and he was in charge of the hitting philosophy and in charge of recruiting, and left Matt Williams as the pitching coach, he'd still be in the dugout. He'd
probably still be there.
What ruined him was massive roster mistakes, massively bad coaching of the pitchers the first year. I thought they got better this year. Chris Gordon had a little to do with that, I think, but I'll give Rooney a little credit for it. The recruiting part of it was a disaster, and then the hitting philosophy part of it was a disaster. So Matt Williams being back at South Carolina, I think, would be a great thing. Lauren says if it's Schnall, hires a new hitting coach, Schnall plus Matt Williams plus Coggin would be exciting. Yeah, Will Coggin, just results-wise, been really good hitting coach. I think he's going to wait to be a head coach, though, somewhere. Blake got bit by a horse.
Saw that. Yeah.
Wow. How does that feel? Does that hurt? Does it hurt?
I bet it does hurt. You know, I mean, they don't have sharp teeth, but strong jaws, maybe.
Probably strong jowled. Bruce says, was he vaccinated? just a little nutty when it's time to eat. Lauren said, hate arts didn't pick us. Oh, well, we need to have a good year this year. And in high school recruiting, that matters. There's a lot of, hey, they're going to get fired going on. I think that's with in-state guys, too. I don't necessarily know that Clemson's even doing it. I don't know. Clemson, I don't even think that's the deal with Carson. I think Tennessee probably is with Trey Segura.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, I know that for a fact. So we'll see. Clemson's had some issues with flips. I think it's because of money. Other schools have come in and flipped. Now, Carolina hadn't flipped anybody from Clemson, but other schools have come in, and Clemson's been like, nope, we're not doing that. Can't say I blame them.
Arts was interesting just because he's one visit, you know. It took one official visit. No unofficials to A&M, and boom.
That's right. Okay, well, we'll discuss. Give him.
Mm-hmm.
Sean says he gets more irritated losing trench guys in the SEC. Those guys are uber important. That they are. I don't know how the staff can big game hunt and be selective coming off 4-8. I get it. You want the uber talented guys first, but take the good talent if it's there. Yeah, I mean, look, who am I to argue about it? But here's the thing, too, Quantrill, not Sean. You show up as Sean in the box, Quantrill, but I know it's you. Here's the thing. I think the idea is remain flexible. Steve Spurrier used to say this in recruiting. Shane Beamer's actually said all the time, Spurrier wanted to remain flexible in recruiting. And I think that's smart this year because you are facing headwinds because of the results of last season and because of these hot seat lists, which we all knew Shane Beamer was going to be on them. You know, the Instagram influencers put them on the hot. I mean, we just knew it. you have two losing seasons in 3 years and nobody has any context about any of it. And, you know, the surface level take is, you know, a lot of SEC coaches that do that, they're trending backwards, get canned. Will Muschamp didn't have a losing season until his fourth one. And then it started 2-5 in COVID. He's out. Now, I think Shane Beamer, right, wrong, or indifferent, has more time, I guess. I think Muschamp being the guy that replaced Spurrier, the guy that replaces the guy, doesn't last very long unless he's winning big. That stinks. And then the fact that he didn't make it at Florida, there was a lot of, they weren't going to give him forever. Right, wrong, indifferent, it just wasn't going to happen. Yeah, you know, Shane Beamer's different. First-time head coach, connections to the glory years. He's had some success. He's had some very big moments. Inconsistent, yes. But, you got a big year coming up. And so, you know, nobody talks about any of that. But did I know? Did we know? It's not what I know. It's what we all know. He's going to be on those lists, yes. And then, you know, portal guys that have 1 year left don't give a crap. You just pay them and they like you. They're going to come. But high school guys, you know, they like you and you're the reason, you know, your staff is the reason that they want to come play for you. And that is the case with many, many recruits. I mean, you know, we're going to see a mass exodus out of the football program. Get rid of Shane Beamer and his staff. That's going to happen if that happens. I don't think it will, but if it did, get ready for a longer rebuild. Football, I was talking about baseball turning it, and football can't really be turned. There's too many spots. You know, you need too many players. But back to what I was saying, you know, if they're the reason, the difference in what you wanting to go to a school, then, and you're 2027 kid, so their fate could be sealed and they could be out the door by the time you even get to campus. Whereas a portal guy, he's got the fall. He's going to come play and help you go. And if not, if you leave, he'll just get in the portal again. or maybe he's out of eligibility. So it's a little bit different with high school kids now, where some of the old school recruiting issues do take place. Lauren said, what about the Josh Dobson kid? South Carolina still feels pretty good about him. So, his visit is forthcoming. They're in a good spot. I wouldn't guarantee anything, but they like where they're at with him. Chances they flip Jaden Bryant from Irmo. I think they have to have a good season and keep him visiting, which they can because he's right down the road. But they're recruiting him like he's a committed guy. Krager says, I'm guessing the last name of the European player not named yet is Lopez. I'll never tell. Anybody remember Jordan Adams? Was that Deke Adams' son, the wide receiver, Bruin? Yeah. Oh, he's going to SMU as a football player now. Well, now that's not, did he ever play football at North Carolina though? He went to North Carolina. Because that's weird. But remember, like, Chris Winkie, remember him? Played at Florida State. He was in minor league baseball and came back and played. That's normal. Matt's in a wet and chilly Lake Norman. It's wet and chilly in the South. Phil, you're muted.
Yes. Sorry, there's so much going on below me.
It's June 2nd.
Yeah, it is. It's chilly. Like, it's not supposed to be, but like, the high this week is 80. And that's
that's high cool.
Around here.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I moved to Columbia in 1999, and in the upstate, everybody talks about how hot Columbia is all the time. Right. It's all they talk about. Columbia's so hot. Columbia's
so hot down there.
It's hot in Columbia. Columbia's just so hot. So hot, hot. It's hot.
It's hot in Columbia. I want to go to Columbia. It's hot.
It's hot in Columbia. It's hot in Columbia. You know, everybody says it. It's famously hot, right? And it is. That's true.
Right.
They're not lying. But I remember I moved down there, and that June feel, it was kind of like a lot of cloud cover, about 80-ish, 80. Didn't get above 85 the whole month. And I was like, that John Denver's full of crap, man. That John
Denver's full of crap. Yeah, that's kind of like what we are around here, because we were considering like running off to the beach for a day this weekend and just spend the day and come back. And I'm like, nah. It hasn't been warm consistently, so you know the ocean's going to be very cold. And then I looked at the high, and it's like 82 degrees, and I'm like, nah, maybe next month. Maybe next month.
That's crazy. But like in 99, July, August, and September were ridiculous.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Ridiculous. I probably lost 20 pounds just walking around outside that summer.
So, yeah, this one's setting up to be like, you know, like those first games at Williams-Brice are just going to be so freaking hot.
If it's cool. So, but Jordan Adams, I guess, is 26 years old.
Yeah.
TD Null has 4 years of eligibility left, he says. Peyton Hurst came back, too.
That's true.
JD says, Muschamp would have been different if he had NIL, just bad timing. Champ could have gotten a safety or two with NIL because he sure couldn't recruit anything out of high school. You know what that was? That was the scheme they were running. I think that, and you see it at other places. You saw Tennessee when Jeremy Pruitt was running it. One of the reasons it worked so well at Georgia and Alabama is, I don't know what will happen. I mean, obviously not at Alabama anymore because Nick Saban's not there. But at Georgia, and we'll see at Texas how they do it. When you can get the cream of the crop at safety, you can get the guys that are great athletes and great players, but that also have the high football IQs. High school level, you're not finding a bunch of guys with high football IQs anywhere. But if you're Alabama, you can. If you're Georgia, you can. But if you ever notice, at Georgia, they have like a little walk-on back there playing safety. And the reason for that is there's so much mentally that they put on their safeties in that spot. And Carolina just didn't have anybody the whole time that could do both. And so they ended up sacrificing, you know, players for guys that wouldn't bust the scheme. And they were getting there. Jamie Robinson was good, and he left. So, that was one of the weirdest things about the Muschamp era, is safety was not a spot they had good players at. Then he leaves, and Jalen Foster, a former walk-on's an All-American.
Right.
And Nicky Minore's, safety came back, right? Mm-hmm. So the safety guru leaves. That's just the most Carolina thing ever. Matt says Lowe's in the 50s in Lake Norman. Interesting. Quantrell wants to go back to Lake Joe Cassie when it gets warmer, underrated lake in South Carolina.
Yeah, I like Joe Cassie. We were there, and it's cold right now.
Yes, the water's. It feels good though, like in the middle of summer.
Oh yeah,
Orchard Day, because it's still kind of. That's a good lake to go swimming in. So, anyway, all right. GamecockTraditions.com, as JB mentioned. Load up on the Under Armour gear. Probably gonna swing by there when I'm in town for the wing eating contest. If you'd like to come join us for that. Go to cockyhospitality.com and RSVP. It's a free event. Come on out, spend time with old me and players and dignitaries, Cox by 90, and I think Cornbread Cowboy is going to be there again. It's a fun boondoggle. The wife and I are flying in for it. So cockyhospitality.com, the fourth annual wing golf to raise money for NIL for Carolina, coming June 20th, Saturday, June 20th. CB18 Bar and Grill down in Five Points. All right, we'll be back to wrap up the show portion. JC and Mad Dog after this.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks of the show on a terrible Tuesday, as we like to call it around here. Been talking some recruiting and with some recent losses, I guess, for Carolina, Shane Beamer and staff, not pulling in some of these early June commitments as much as everyone would like to see, JC, but there's still time, right? We haven't even gotten to the first official visit weekend of the month. And we all know that June is usually a pretty good month around here, around these parts.
Yeah, it's good. And it's like last year's class, you know, there were some people disappointed, but class has ended up being pretty good so far, right?
Yeah.
McJunkin chimes in. He said, when you go 4-8, recruiting will take a hit. Yeah, it's that next class.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That gets you. Unless Carolina's willing to overspend on high school seniors, which they won't do. I agree with that philosophy. I still say if they have a big year, it'll change. Yeah, I'm with you there. And we've seen it before. I mean, after 2024, they flipped how many guys?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, Flip City. There were three or four at least there at the
2025
end.
Class. That was the one year where you left Sumber and you're like, well, they kind of got some work to do to fill this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up flipping a bunch of guys at the end. So Lauren says, Will Coggins' fiance, his name's Will Coggin, not Coggins. Coggins is my grandmother's maiden name. So it's Coggin.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm. But Lauren was using the possessive there. Will Coggins' fiance is a USC grad, used to work in our athletic legal compliance department office. Yeah. And when I say family connection, that's what I've been alluding to. We knew that. And look, I don't know. There's different opinions about him out there, just in a lot of ways. As far as just like, would he be a fit somewhere or not? Craig asked why he would leave Georgia. Well, Georgia's not the, I think he's going to leave for a head coaching job, but working at Georgia in baseball is not the same as working at Georgia in football. I mean, baseball people, it's perfectly logical to go from Georgia to South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that there. Craig are with an Elizabeth. I'm coming to join you, honey. Stafford and son. But Matt says, I like Will, but Will Coggin, but they won't be him if they're set on sitting a coach. Yeah, they're not going to hire an assistant. Now, is that what? Do I agree with that? I guess. I see the logic behind it. There's a lot to clean up and get better in a hurry, and you'd like somebody with some experience, just like any job. But then again, you look around the SEC, and you know that's why I thought, you know, someone said that they're going to have to hire, they're going to be forced to settle for an assistant. I mean, that may not be settling. I mean, look at how many guys have come directly, like Wes Johnson at Georgia. Was an assistant. He was a pitching coach at LSU when he took the job.
Yeah.
Butch Thompson at Auburn, I think, was the Mississippi State assistant. Nick Mangione Tony Vitello was an assistant at Arkansas when he took Tennessee.
Yeah. I think there are sometimes, especially with some of the names that were thrown around early in this, it felt like the head coach hire would be settling. Right. I mean, like, oh, that sounds like settling, like, and more so than, I don't think it's as much of a dice roll, JC, to hire an assistant these days, right? Especially someone who's been around, say, is well within your footprint, has connections. Because it's not like it used to be where your strongest ties to the lower level of baseball were directly at the high schools, right? Now it's all kind of run through the travel leagues. And those teams play all over the same footprint as conferences. So if you network yourself enough within those circles, you could be ahead of the game without actually having to have walked into a specific high school inside a certain state.
Yeah, I think it goes beyond. I think assistants can recruit. I think it's more the other stuff, as far as what to fix. But most of your assistants are in charge of recruiting, you know. So that's I don't know that would be a problem. But I just look at the track record here, Phil. Vitello was an assistant, Tennessee baseball has been transformed. Kentucky, which lost to West Virginia, but made another regional and went to freaking Omaha. Mississippi State assistant, transformed. Georgia, LSU assistant, transformed. Georgia may be the best team left. They may win the national championship. Transformed. Yeah. Auburn baseball. Been through a lot of coaches, have a beautiful ballpark in Plainsman's Park. Not exactly a national power. Butch Thompson's completely had a bad year a few years back, completely transformed. Oklahoma promoted Skip Johnson to the head coaching job. Did you see them walk off Georgia Tech at their place? Mm-hmm. Oklahoma's a pretty good baseball team. I don't like Skip Johnson quite a bit. You know, A&M's coach now is a guy that they promoted from within. You know, so it's almost half the league. And that's not to mention Tim Corbin and Kevin O'Sullivan, both who have won national championships at Florida and Vanderbilt. You know, Florida's always been one of those baseball programs before Sully got there that was you kind of scratched your head and wondered, like, well, Miami's good. Florida State's good. They just can't win the big one. Why is Florida so hit or miss? They had one College World Series team that went to the finals against Texas when Andy Lopez was there. But it's kind of – and Sully gets there, and he's been to Omaha 9 times in 18 years. The Gators are better than anybody else in that state.
Right.
Right? This could be Troy. he was an assistant at Clemson. Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt's coach. Vanderbilt never dreamed of having that kind of success. He was an assistant under Jack Leggett at Clemson. So more than half the league, the sitting head coaches that have had a lot of success were assistants. I don't think there's anything wrong with that in baseball. You know, I think but I understand the philosophy. But look, you've also, let me just, Jay Johnson at LSU was at Arizona. Head coach, you know.
Good. Right, yeah.
You know, Rob Vaughn at Alabama, who's elevated their program, he's head coach at Maryland. I mean, there are guys that, I mean, my Mississippi State certainly did a good thing by hiring a successful sitting head coach in Brian O'Connor. I mean, they're back and they're still alive. They play Georgia. That may be the two best teams left.
That's what JB said. He was like, I'm telling you, the winner of this year's World Series is coming out of that Georgia Super.
The Battle of the Dogs.
Dogs.
Woof, woof, and clanga, clanga, clanga. Matt says his fiance could talk him into it. There is some power there. But Jay Diz says, they just showed a new stadium tour with Jacarius Peak. Dude looks like he's in great shape and walking around without limping. So it's a big plus on his rehab. Yeah, he's ahead of schedule. Just got to be careful with that. But he is and he looks a little different than like if you were just going by the eyeball test, which some people love the eyeball test, and that's all they care about. And you had him next to like Tree Babalade, you'd probably take Tree. But it's not close when you watch the two old film.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Peak, as unique as this offense is, Phil, Peak is an equally unique left tackle. If you watch his NC State stuff, dude, it's like, he's just like fast and instinctive. It's very, there's a reason why everybody loves the guy.
Yeah.
And everybody wanted him out of the portal. That would be huge. One guy is offensive line. I've said it before. It's a position where you need five playing as one regardless. So if Peak's healthy and the other four can't get on the same page, it's not going to do anybody any good. They're going to be terrible. But boy, you'd like to, you'd really love to have him because to get to that five, you're talking about then all of a sudden it's a different look. Because so I said on coffee today, I'd do this, and I'll do this with our 8 minutes left here, Phil. And it is 8 minutes, Phil, just to remind you. Okay, so just to give you a little marker there for that, for a future project. Quantrill said hire Buck Showalter.
Buck Showalter, I know.
So, and I'll answer this toward the end, but all right, offensive line. So without Peak, here's how it kind of looks at there's a lot more questions. You're looking at Surratt at left tackle. Okay. Purvis or someone else at left guard, Carter Miller at center, right guard, Poku, right tackle right now would be Dane Arnett. Maybe Victor Chin or Vincent Chin enters the chat. I keep wanting to call him Victor Chin.
I like that.
Victor Chin is Guy Smiley's cousin.
Yes, Guy Smiley. Victor Chin.
Victor Chin. Hi, I'm Victor the Chin. Or hey, it's favorite go see Victor the Chin.
Yeah. Yeah. Victor the Chin.
Victor the Chin Baldano. all right. So I like Dane Arnett. Big mean guy. Seth Smith can factor in there as well, maybe at right tackle. But I sure like Shed Surratt a lot better out there at this point. And so what Peak does is with your starting five, it really maximizes it because you got a guy that could be an All-American at left tackle. You know, right now, I'd say Purvis at left guard. Could that change? Absolutely. Carter Miller at center and Nolan Hayes behind him. See, Nolan Hayes could end up being a factor in another guard too. Just because his name is Nolan Hayes and he came from Incarnate Word and he was on the team last year doesn't mean he can't be good. I said that today too, Phil. I was like, he only played like 40% of the Missouri game, and he was, by God, the best center that played the whole year.
I know. I mean,
as far as holding up and not making dumb decisions.
When he got hurt, I'm like, oh, man, just there was so much potential, and he was playing well.
Yeah, and then boom, hurt, out, gone, redshirt. Yeah. But they get him back this year. You know, Poku is at right guard. You know, you have Demola who's coming on. At one of the guard positions, Ajita Hoon, the redshirt freshman. I mean, you know, you've got some answers on the inside. Marky Anderson, Boo Boo, they're all back. They're all in there as well. Right tackle. And look, I'll say this too. I'll remind everybody too. I mentioned Nolan Hayes. Mm. Nolan Hayes played some tackle at Incarnate Word. So, I don't know. You know, I just don't know. But we'll see. Darius Gray can be a tackle. But all that depth stuff, which, by the way, shameless plug, was today's football topic on coffee. All that depth stuff, the answers will come, right? If you could solidify this offensive line with Jacarius Peak out there. So with Peak, and here's your video title, with Peak or with or without Peak.
With or without you.
I don't know. And Cam mentions Darius Gray. Yeah, I mentioned that. Zion Giles, I wouldn't rule it out in the two deep. I don't think he could. I think Darius Gray, depending on how good he really is when he gets here, I would say there's a puncher's chance he could start, Cam. Giles, I don't see him starting, but I could see him in the two deep. I know they like him. I know he had a pretty good spring, you know, and that kind of thing. But I believe that you know, I believe Gray of those two could see the field quicker at this point. And that's even with Giles having spring. But Giles is going to be pretty good from what I can gather. Offensive line's a tricky spot as well because it's so developmental.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have a guy that ends up being an All-American that isn't that way for 5-6 years or for 4 or 5 years. These days, 5 or 6, who cares?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's 30 years old, but, you know, he's getting his undergrad.
That's the thing. With or without Peak, what it doesn't necessarily, you know, it helps solve some of the answer some of the questions, like I talked about on coffee earlier, with who's going to be the depth. Because right now, you know, you're 7, 8, 9 guys deep. Now, sometimes, like I said earlier, on coffee, it doesn't matter. Your offensive line depth doesn't play into it because your starters stay relatively healthy. You rarely sub. They never play. So it doesn't matter. It's like insurance, right?
Right.
Yeah. But at that spot, we all know there are injuries. And we know that, that with this situation, particularly at tackle, where you've kind of got Shed Surratt's kind of right now, the starting right tackle, and then the backup left tackle. You know, so and it, so that's going to cause you to have, like, let's say something, God forbid, did happen to Peak. That's going to cause you to have to reshuffle because one guy's going to left and all that good stuff. And that can get tricky as far as the cohesion thing goes. Cam says, what about Marquis Anderson? Is he getting lost in the shuffle? No, he just it hasn't been healthy, man. I mean, the dude in that infamous Kentucky run game, I gripe about all the time, or I allude to all the time. Marquis is playing the best football he's ever played. And he got hurt again. And I just hate it for the kid. Great family, Spartanburg guy, you know. So he's got to make it back again with his health. And I think that Marquis Anderson, if he makes it back healthy, could have something to say about that depth we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Blake Franks is another guy going into his third year, you know, that we've talked about a few times. TD Nell says, is there optimism that Dylan Stewart will be ready in week one, or is he going to miss time? If you had to, like, put a gun to my head and said only one, Peak or Stewart, will be ready by game one, I would say it's Peak. And that is 100% only because of the type of injuries they were. You know, a back is just something that you don't mess around with. And they've already, you know, he already tried to rush himself back and say, and shut him down again. And you just can't risk it. Not with a guy like Dylan Stewart.
No. Yeah.
Again, you know, if it's, you got to have him ready to go for the games that, it is in doubt if you're going to win if you don't have your best players on the field. But as far as the overall intel on it, yeah, everybody's optimistic he's going to be back. So I'm just using the caveat every time you'll hear me do this. Every time I talk about Dylan Stewart, it's a back. You have to make, and I don't think either one of these guys is going to play in either of the first two games unless they are 100%.
Yeah, nor should they.
And unless have been that way for right. a while. They're gonna use an abundance of caution, and that's good. So, Tri-State says, I agree, JC, but it's like, here we go. Is it going to nag all season? I mean, that's why they shut him down and. January.
Yeah, hopefully you're thinking, okay, 8 months is good enough, right, to where he'll to where it'll be fully healed.
He's like, this is like a pitcher who puts off Tommy John for 6-8 months, then fails another rehab assignment, has to go under the knife. I mean, I can't tell you that it won't end up that way, but it would surprise the doctors and everybody else. And I understand the need around here, just because of the nature of how coaches handle injuries, to be worried and skeptical. I mean, because it's a player of Stewart's caliber.
Right.
I just can report what I've been told and what other people have reported, including some national outlets on the situation. But just as far as my brain goes, I'm going to be skeptical of any kind of back injury ever. And kind of the dumb way that I do it's because of what happened to Tiger freaking Woods.
I think Larry Bird every time I hear back.
Yeah, the back ruins dudes, man. It's the worst kind of injury you can get.
You need it. It's like you can't get around it. There's no compensating, right? Yeah.
JDS says the Stewart thing is worrying at this point. I hope it's not a thing where if it doesn't work, they just shut it down and have surgery. I don't know why it's more worrying now at this point than it was. Nothing's changed. If anything, he's gotten better and he's returning here soon. Is this why is I don't understand why this is new at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be a jerk here either. I just that's confusing to me. Kroger says he's got a back too, and it sucks. Harrison's dad broke his back in a hunting accident. Injury, there's no joke. Yeah, your back's important. Gotta, you can't stand up or sit
right.
down.
Yeah, it's not like you can't favor your other back because one of your backs is bad, right?
Backiotomy. Doctor said I had back in. But yeah, I don't. Yeah, maybe you didn't mean to say at this point, Jay Diz, but it's not. I mean, nobody expected him. I mean, look, even if he comes back to work out, there's not going to be a press release that said, there's not going to be, probably not even going to be a report. Nobody's really going to know. Maybe get some scoop on it.
Yeah.
Then we all have to worry about him getting hurt lifting weights or re-aggravating the injury.
You know? Right.
TD Nelson says, he comes back from the Mississippi State game, I'll be good. Not played in the first two games isn't detrimental for the team. And look, man, he may be fine. It's hard to keep that dude off the field if he's ready to go. I'll tell you that. He didn't want to sit out the Coastal game this year.
Yeah, that's part of the thing that makes it even more kind of nerve-wracking, in that he's going to be pushing to play, even if he doesn't necessarily feel 100%. Just because that's the kind of player he is. And so it's kind of trying to manage and mitigate that from a coaching and staff perspective. And okay, is he really 100%?
Jay says, I just haven't heard if Stewart's back was improving or not. No news is hopefully good news. Well, no, a lot of people ask me about it frequently, and like making progress and on schedule. I'm sorry, I should probably explain myself a little better. On schedule means he has made progress.
Mm-hmm.
There was a report on CBS the other day that's the same article where they listed 25 potential breakout guys in the SEC, 25, but not a one from South Carolina.
Right.
But they had like camp, went around campus with all the schools, had a little bit of news, and they had a quote in there from somebody. And so, he's doing great. He's about to get back to work, So there's that. My bad on that, JDS. I should just be like, yeah, it's better. But the thing is, you can feel 100%. I mean, I guess the concern, I guess everybody's kind of feeling the same way. I'm concerned, because it's a back, and we know that happens. There are others out there that are concerned because they think the kid is going to juice Wells it.
Right.
And that kind of makes me sick to my stomach because they haven't watched Dylan Stewart play football. I mean, like I said it before, that Clemson game last year meant absolutely nothing. It was one team that had wrapped up an illustrious trip to the Pinstripe Bowl against a team that their season was over, win or lose.
Yeah.
Both were massive disappointments. The only thing that mattered was pride for the University of South Carolina and its fans because they want to beat Clemson. And his back was all messed up. He went in there and still tried to play. Gave him a few good snaps. That's not a kid that's just going to sit out for money. If he were driven by things like that, he would not be at the University of South Carolina. He would be someplace else.
Yeah, he'd have transferred.
He'd have left when the times got hard. and that, I guess, maybe that kind of bothers me when people take care. Hey, look, I'm not saying players don't deserve criticism, but don't make stuff up in your head.
No.
Because you see other guys do it, and there's no proof that Dylan Stewart's done anything like that. So. Yeah, Jade is the only stuff I've heard. Dylan works so hard that I have to slow him down.
Yeah.
Lauren said, Kendall Rogers said he's expecting some head coach and assistant news to drop today. No idea if that pertains to us, but the biggest job open. Look, I'm not going to be surprised at all. I've gotten a couple of texts. I'm going to let other people that have some more direct connections vent for me. Or vent. Jesus, Jason. Vet for me, but I think if it's Schnall, there's some things that are gonna happen here. I think it's an important 48 hours for the Gamecock coaching search. So Harrison adds truthfully that Dylan Stewart would have left with Sterling Lucas for LSU. Yeah, man. I mean, give the guy credit. He could have gone anywhere in the United States of America. He's not from South Carolina.
Right.
From Washington, D.C. The recruiting coordinator that landed him left. You know, his position coach left. He got hurt. He had a losing season second year. He had one more year before he's draft eligible. Could have gone anywhere. Most guys would. And everybody's been speculating on him getting in the portal since Kentucky game his freshman year, which is trash. Like, I would, you know, people to do that for a program like South Carolina is trash. I mean, that's garbage. That's not journalism or analysis. That's garbage.
No.
You know, so, and he stayed. And his mom likes it. And he likes it. So, I think sometimes that gets lost. You know, it's not that these guys are making money. It's that they could have made just as much or more elsewhere, and they choose to stay. I think that's kind of how you got to determine it. FSU beat writers were peddling that message with Stewart. Yeah, they were. A bunch of folks worked for my old network peddling that. JDS says Ohio State was back-channeling hard after Dylan last year. They've been doing that for 3 years. They also came after Matt Fuller back-channeling.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis says some Coastal players are starting to hit the portal. Could be a sign. Stay tuned, Curtis. By the way, Curtis, good response to I saw the Gamecock show account. Got a response about Lenora Sellers yesterday. Good response there, buddy. All right, for the Mad Dog, it's JC Sherman. Wide open Wednesday tomorrow. Maybe we'll have a head coach to talk about.
Hey.
That'd be fun. Because then the fun stuff happens. Players, assistants, the meat, the nuts and bolts.
That's right.
The guts, as you will. Talk to you soon. This has been ITG. Have a good one.